Glory be to God. How many of you brought your Bibles? Everybody bring your Bibles? Let me see them. Love it when you bring your word. Most of you new people understand that as of now, I have to say it this way because the Lord could change it anytime. And when you say it, we have started several churches and a lot of them were just outreaches in El Paso and Albany, Texas, Canyon, Texas, Odessa, Texas, and Lubbock, Texas, and so on. And a lot of them were just outreaches at the colleges. I ministered to a lot of college kids at that time. And then when we started church at the barn in Lubbock, then God just began to birth some different things, and we knew we were supposed to turn it over and then come in this area. We didn't really know where we were supposed to go. We just knew we were supposed to get closer towards Louisiana, actually. And somehow we stopped halfway. And it was because we was ministering to the southern region of college rodeo. And still do the college national finals. Matter of fact, we put on a big softball tournament that I started several years ago to get those kids busy doing something and just not the pressure of the college finals, because it's the best college kids in the world. You see them all then go on to the national finals a lot. And so we put up a tent and we ministered to them for about a week in Casper, Wyoming in June, like the second or third weekend of June. And so we were going to move this, to the southern region, which is, all the way at Lake Charles, Louisiana, all the way down south at Uvalde, at that time up north to Mount Pleasant and a lot of Hill College and Hillsboro and so on. Now they have separated the regions now, and there's three college regions in Texas and then Louisiana and so on. And mainly West Texas, a little bit of New Mexico, Hobbs and Lovington. And so it just got so big. So when we left the Southwest region, there would be 200 or 300 kids and their families that would come to church service on a Saturday after slack, after this, not a rodeo performance, but the slack. And it was amazing. Then we moved to the southern region, and we happened to meet the Vinsicks, who owned a ranch, the Smiling V Ranch, about a mile down the road. And we started this church. And I just knew that the Lord would probably say, okay, you're done here, now start another one somewhere else. Because that's just what He's done at 7 or 8 other churches. But for 22 years, He has not released me to go anywhere. And as a matter of fact, I prayed, though. Don't you understand it's good to pray? Because I said, Father, I would just love a base, just somewhere to stay put and then still travel. Because He's never released me to travel, as y'all know. And I primarily travel with those steer ropers, mainly during the summer, when we're gone more, and then all the ministers, take care of things while we're gone, and I'll be in and out or I'll fly in. And but it just gets very, very busy. And with that said, it's an honor to be here and then to stay. And so as the pastor of this church, I'm honored to be able to lift up again, as we always declare, the King, Jesus. You see, that's what this represents on this Palm Sunday. So if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to the very front of your Bible, find the table of contents, or find Matthew, and you're going to go back just a little bit to Zechariah. Now, I say go to the front because we're not prideful. If it takes forever to try to find Zechariah, then just go to the front, see what page it's on, and then flip to it, and you'll get there faster. Amen. It's 11:22, so we don't have a lot of time. Say amen when you get to Zechariah, and then go to chapter 9. chapter 9. I still hear some pages. Or is that your phone you're flipping or swiping, you know? Look at verse 9, Zechariah 9 and 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Why? Why would they come in here with a bunch of palm leaves, waving them? I'm going to teach you just a few things about the meaning of Palm Sunday. But let's read on. Behold your king. Now go ahead and look at me just real fast. And I know this is very, very minor, but yet major. It's very, very basic. But let's all together state out loud who the king is. So say it a little bit louder. Jesus is the king, right? And he's coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. That tells me right there that Jesus was a cowboy. But even if he wasn't, the anointing made sure that that old donkey, that old foal, didn't buck him off. Say amen, bull riders. Well, I heard people say amen. You're not a bull rider probably, but... What is Palm Sunday? You know what it is? Number one, it celebrates the day Jesus entered the holy city of Jerusalem. And he came on a donkey. Now think about this, because he didn't come on a warrior horse like battle. He comes on this donkey, praise the Lord. Now, I can probably go tons of different directions about the donkey. I have one named Pedro at my house. He's supposed to be a protective donkey when I bought some sheep and goats, and he didn't do a very good job. I had to sell all the Dorper sheep and Angora goat. Well, they wasn't Angora, but they Spanish, some of them. And then, you know, some meat goats. And I had to sell them. Some would have triplets, twins. And then they would not survive because of the coyotes or whatever else. And so I learned real fast that I wasn't called to be a goat farmer. Amen. And that donkey wouldn't do his job. But one thing that my dad taught as he used to guide hunts in the Guadalupes of New Mexico, and he would take a pack of donkeys, and I remember him telling, as we were pretty little, us three boys, me being the youngest, brother about a year and a little bit older, and one about 4 years older. And dad would tell us about having these donkeys, and those donkeys would just walk down a little trail, a rock trail, where you could look down on either side and it dropped off. But you didn't want to look down. You might get a spirit of fear on you because it was wild. But those donkeys had no trouble. They just moseyed right along. Why? Because they're sure-footed, right? That's what most people know, that a donkey is sure-footed. My dad used to train mules to team rope. And he would take them to team ropings in Ruidoso, New Mexico. Most of my family's from Carlsbad and from Portales and then that area. Before my dad started building oil wells as a welder and moved us to Odessa, Texas. And that's what kind of moved us into Texas. But again, those mules and even the donkeys, man, they were just so sure-footed, man. When you had a really good one, whoo, they were the best. Don't have any wither, so a saddle might slide off their head. And you had to figure out ways to strap them around the rear of the animal so that saddle wouldn't continue to go forward as they stopped. But I'm telling you, they were the best animals. Matter of fact, my dad what they called it, the Mularama in Rio Doce, New Mexico, raced a mule. And he come in third. He had a regular saddle, and all these other guys were like jockeys, you know, with eye guard mask on those mules that looked like horses. And here my dad just whooping with a rope, trying to beat these guys. Come in third. The point is Jesus came and entered the holy city on this donkey. And that donkey literally, as he came in, represented not a warrior horse to battle. It represented peace, strength, and hope. And that's what he was trying to say. Peace, I'm coming to you as the Prince of Peace. Strength that Nehemiah talked about, that if you have joy, it gives you that strength like Jesus. Listen to me. The reason it's strength is because Jesus, since he was 100% man and 100% the Son of God, could have said enough is enough and I don't want to die for all these crazy people trying to kill me. And all I've done is said that I was the Son of God. And he's knowing prophetically, by the way, that he was going to be crucified. We're going to celebrate that next week, right? And he's declaring, I know that I'm going to get crucified, but I'm going to ride and try to bring in the spirit of peace, the spirit of strength, the spirit of hope. And as he came in, just like these kids and their teachers just did, and family members, when he came in, they started shouting, Hosanna. Hosanna! Hosanna! And I mean, it was being spread across that little region. Hosanna, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is coming. You see. Which most of you know what Hosanna means. Blessed. Now we sang about that, right? Blessed. That's why I'm trying to convince us all that we're blessed. Because the world tells us everything other than us being and convinced that we're blessed. And so, that's why we sing, I'm blessed, highly favored of God. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath, etc. And so, it says, blessed, this is Hosanna, is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so I'm just rejoicing today that we're celebrating this Palm Sunday and we can declare that our Jesus is full of strength, full of hope, and full of peace. Now you need to start walking in that, because in the world system, you're not going to be peaceful. You're going to be chaotic if you don't tap in to the Prince of Peace. Because the opposite of peace is fear. And I'm sure that we all have this opportunity to walk in fear in some way at some time. I don't care how good of a bull rider someone is, there's always an opportunity to get into the spirit of fear. And the Word of God says that God didn't give us the spirit of fear, right? He gave us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So I can't tell you how many bull riders that I've taught to not be in fear when they get on that horse, they get on that bull, whatever it might be, lay your hands on that animal and claim Genesis that says you have dominion over all the animals of the earth. And start commanding that animal, that bull's going to buck and I'm going to ride him. And I'm not going to be in fear because no weapon formed against me will prosper. And if I get into danger, I'm going to check out. Yeah, amen. But I'm not going to start out with fear. When am I going to get hurt? Because that's part of the sport. That's a curse. So we don't live by the curse. We live by the blessing. We live by Hosanna, you see. Okay? Now, when we understand peace and we understand hope and we understand the strength of God, then that tells me that no devil in hell then can get us down. He's going to try, but that's why we speak the word of God. That's why we speak Isaiah 54 and 17. No weapon. The weapons are all around us, y'all. But God's saying, no weapon formed against us will prosper. So, okay. So, the reason that we're celebrating Palm Sunday is for that reason. Jesus came to defeat death. Now, I don't have time to get into next week's message, but thank God death didn't hold him down. And it doesn't hold any of us down. Listen to me. Get out of your mind the thinking that you got to die sick. It seems like the world convinces all of us that that's just part of it. We just have to die, hopefully not in suffering, but just want to leave quickly. If cancer gets a hold of me, let's just leave as much in peace as possible. Well, why don't we change our confession? Why don't we change our confession like these people were doing? Because I'm going to show you the representation of the palm leaf and then the clothes that was laid down when Jesus was coming into the town on a donkey. Why don't we change our confession and start saying, you know, the Bible says that death and life are in the power of my tongue. So when I get old and I'm ready to check out of this world, then I'm going to go peacefully. Why wouldn't we start confessing those kind of things instead of, well, I hope sickness and disease don't get me. But if it does, I get to go to the place called heaven. I mean, glory be to God for that. But why don't we get a little deeper in God's word that is yes and amen? Why don't we start convincing ourselves that if death and life are in the power of my tongue, then I'm going to start speaking life over this body. That's why I've told you in the shower. I don't know why I do it in the shower. But that's when I have a little time to declare over this body, and I say things like, all the cells in this body, and I'm talking to myself, right? And I'm not doing it underneath my breath. I've got the door shut. My wife is asleep, hopefully. Kids are gone. The dogs don't care. I start saying, Ron, Father, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, every cell in this body is healthy. And any cell that is bad, a cancer cell or any cell, dies in this body in Jesus' name. And then I start talking to my heart. Heart, in Jesus' name, regardless of that chicken fried steak that me and Mom had at the cafe in Marble Falls. You know, Blue Bonnet's a good place. Blue Bonnet. You can get a piece of pie there too. Just pray over it. Amen. I say, heart, in Jesus' name, I command you to beat the way you're supposed to beat on the right rhythm. And every vessel, everything that causes blood to flow through this body, arteries, whatever it is, and I try to name all of them, I command that blood to flow with openness and it goes to the places that it needs to go properly. I have circulation in this body in Jesus' name. And then if there's another hurt thing in my body like a knee because a steer kicked me right there, well, right there, then I speak to the knee in Jesus' name and I say, Father, in Jesus' name, I command this knee to operate the way you created it to operate in Jesus' name. Now, why wouldn't we confess those things? Instead of, a lot of times, we just are settled with, hey, that's just part of life. If it be thy will that I die this way, praise the Lord. No, you need to figure out what the will of God is. Anyway, that's a different message. But Jesus came to defeat death, y'all. Now we can defeat death. So that's why, again, that when you read on John 10:10, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, you keep reading when it says Jesus came that we might have, some of you know it, right? Life, and more abundant life, you see. Man, thank you, Jesus. I don't know about y'all, but I just want abundant life. Now, when they're saying, declaring, Hosanna, Hosanna. You know what they're declaring? They're declaring and building up the Son of God, Jesus. That's what 4:29 literally tells us to be careful of. Remember, it says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which would edify the listener. So it's really important that they weren't yelling at this particular time anything but Hosanna. And they was waving this palm leaf. Waving the palm branches was a sign of victorious celebration. Because you have victory in Christ Jesus. So if the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy, you know what you ought to do? Wave the palm branch. Jesus! Jesus! Hosanna! Hosanna! My Son of God! My Savior! This is what you wave. And I know you wouldn't literally wave a palm leaf, you know, in downtown Austin. But I'm here to tell you, I would be confessing the Word of God downtown Austin. I'd be believing God for protection, the blood of Jesus that covers me in Jesus' name. You see, there was something about the celebration of Jesus' return. Now that's the palm branch. I mean, that's what it represented here, is that death is defeated, that they are calling on the Prince of Peace, they're calling on the name that's above every name, they're proclaiming the Son of God, and here he's coming in on a donkey. But what else happened real fast? As people literally started laying down their clothes. You know what it represented? Literally, when you study it out, when people laid down their clothes, is they were laying down the old life. Listen to me real carefully. When you give your heart to Jesus, you're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You're moved, in other words. I think I wrote down. Let's just turn there. Everybody flip over to, real fast, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians. And go again, chapter 5. Because again, we're celebrating Jesus being the Prince of Peace, full of strength, full of hope, so that we can have that in these last days. He's riding in on a donkey. They're yelling, Hosanna. And they're saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's the Son of God. And again, let me remind you one more time. He already knows that he's going to get betrayed. He already knows that he's going to get crucified. He might have not known the pain. None of us know the pain when bad things come on us. But today, thank God we can cast every care upon the Son of God. Amen. So it's important that we lay down the old life. Look at verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Look at me just real fast. Are you in Christ? Now, I'm sure most of you are going to say, absolutely, Jesus is my Lord. But if he's not, you need to make him your Lord. And how do you do that? Romans 10:9 says, confess. There's that confession word again. Remember, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's a confession. And now getting born again is a confession thing. You cannot get born again silently. You might be able to pray silently and God will hear it because you have the mind of Christ. But when you confess something, it's always out loud. So it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that means you've confessed Jesus as Lord, believe that God raised him from the dead, 10:9 again of Romans. He's a new, say that, new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. In other words, God's not holding your past against you. Thank God for reconciliation. Thank God for grace. Thank God for peace. Praise God. That's the reason that the Prince of Peace was riding in on a donkey so that we can say, Hosanna, we've got peace now. Hosanna, we've got strength now. Hosanna, we've got hope now. Because without the Son of God, you don't have hope. You don't have strength. You're going to have to rely on it on your own. And I can promise you, it will not last. You've got to try to figure out different ways to get peace. And then before you know it, if you do it a different way than the Word of God and you're trying to get peace from alcohol or drugs or whatever else, the world, sometimes people get peace in their minds from a relationship because they're lonely. No. I told my daughter and my son, and I'll just tell anybody else in here that is thinking about marriage, or you can tell them, you don't date people because you're lonely. You date someone to qualify them for marriage. If you know that that person is not in that area, they don't qualify, get rid of them. Get them born again first. Get them to church. I mean, we're not against them, but not to marry. I'm not yoking myself to an unbeliever. Okay. All right, so with that said, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You know what that word new means? In any translation, the Greek, the Hebrew, new means unused. Thank you, Lord, for that. You're not used. Fresh. Novel. I understand fresh. Me and Cole and Danny and Dalton, we understand fresh steers. You know what a fresh steer is? They've never been roped. They've never been cut. They're just fresh. So then you can train a fresh steer a lot easier than one that's already been roped. Because, man, if they've been team roped, and then you try to bust one down like the pasture at a doctor, remember? If you had one team roped, they already have their balance. And it's hard to get them down, or at least to stay down, because they're used to being on their feet. If one's been bulldogged and thrown down like a steer wrestler, then they're used to getting on their side. And then when the steer wrestler gets up, they're used to getting right up. But in the steer roping, the tripping they call it, we need the steer to lay down and stay on his side to tie three legs. That's the event. So I would rather have a fresh steer than one that's been trained in other events. So I understand fresh. Well, really, that's what this is talking about, because we're made new. It doesn't matter what our past is, spiritually speaking. When we give our heart to Jesus Christ, we are new in Christ Jesus. Old things. Maybe we did stuff wrong back when. Maybe we gave our heart to Jesus and still did something wrong. That's why there's grace. Not to do it again. To repent and walk away. You turn around from that sin. That's why, remember the Bible says, dust your shoes off, dust yourself off, get up, turn around maybe, and start over again. We're not going to stay down because we did something wrong back when, or yesterday, or this morning. Amen. We're going to say Hosanna. We're going to call on the Prince of Peace. We're calling call on hope. We're going to call on strength. Because listen to me, that's exactly what reconciliation is. The process which God and humanity are brought together again. And then this is made possible through the blood of Jesus. And He demonstrates it with the power and the model for reconciliation. He gave even though He was crucified, y'all. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, and the Bible says now He's praying, interceding for you and me. I don't know about you, but that's a wonderful Savior to serve. One that was beat, we'll talk about next week, stuck in the side with a spear, blood shed, and He did it for me and you. He did it for us. And He didn't say, well, I'm going to have to hold a few things against you, Corey. You know, in college, I was wild. I mean, the party was at my house, as y'all know. I was a fun guy. And people were attracted to that party spirit. But there had to be a day when I said, God, forgive me. I know better. I know better. And you know what happened? All that sin, no matter what it was thrown into the sea of forgetfulness in God's eyes. Why? Because He's Hosanna. He's peace. I'm not going to hold it against you. That's what He was saying to me. I'm not holding the things against you. Yeah, maybe we did blow it. I had to call Gary. Gary. See Gary? I called him yesterday because I felt like I was a little short to him. And when we was doing some stuff in the arena. I don't know if I was for real, but I still wanted to, you know, I wanted to say, oh, I didn't mean to. I need you. But you know, and I'm not big enough. If I feel like I was a little short about the design of speakers. Well, that's what He does. So as I was leaving, I was reminded, as the Lord said, this is how I say it. This is not necessarily how the Lord said it. But He was like, hey, Goofy. I think He knows what He's doing, so leave Him alone. And so I don't even know if you needed me to call you, but I did. And I said, hey, if it seemed like I was bothered, please forgive me. That's Hosanna. That's Hosanna. That's peace. So I'm saying today, as we close, it's 11:51. I have a big clock on the back wall. Y'all just turn around and look at it. It's big. Look how big it is. I mean, I don't have to have readers. I just see it. If you're going through some stuff and you need peace and you need some strength, I mean, there's always opportunity to not understand something. I don't. Why'd that happen? Right? No matter what it is about someone, about our church, about events at the arena. The main focus that I want you to see in is it's important not to meditate on the old you, a sin nature, but to meditate on the new you in Christ Jesus, who gives you strength to overcome, who gives you hope when there's no hope in this world but Jesus. And I'm telling you, if you're a military man or woman, you better believe in the strength of Hosanna. I mean, it wasn't someone called me and said, hey, someone's getting shipped out. And it's their first time to go. I just said, hey, well, let's just pray over them. I plead the blood of Jesus over them. And all I was doing is just praying Hosanna, strength, the Son of God. Whoever comes in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, see, that's who we are. So today, let's celebrate. The old clothes that you might lay down is just saying, no, I'm not living by the old me. I'm a new me in Christ Jesus. And I recognize that today. And then next week, come early. So you can get a seat, right? Because then we're gonna talk about the resurrection. Oh, Jesus. He's not dead. He's alive. Say amen to that. He's not dead. He's alive. And now we can be alive only in Christ Jesus. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for the word of God that is yes and amen. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that if there's people in here that's going through some issues, we might say, some guilt and condemnation from the devil, Father, we proclaim Hosanna. And we call out to Jesus, the same Jesus that came in to the city of Jerusalem. That was crucified, raised from the dead. The Prince of Peace. The one that we can have strength in and hope, praise God. Father, if there's people that are, they just need some encouragement, that's what we're doing today, is we're encouraging. Because Jesus was always built up. He was always serving. The word says Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve. But Father, we serve Him. So Father, thank you, Lord, that anybody with issues that's going on in their life, I thank you, Lord, that they're set free now in Jesus' name. If that's you, and you're just going through a tough time, maybe not very many people even know about it, and you need to proclaim Hosanna, if that's you, I want to be in agreement with you, but you're going to have to do something. It's called faith. If you're going through some issues, then we just need some strength, some peace, some guidance, some hope. We need some joy. If that's you, and it's going to take you being brave right now, with everybody seated, I want you to stand right where you're at, and I'm going to pray over you right now. Just stand up. Good, good. Doesn't matter what it is. No one has to know what's going on, of course. But just stand up. It's just an issue. Might be little to you, but it might be major to you. Little to someone else. Just stand up, and I want to pray over you. Glory be to God. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, every person, and just stick your hand over your heart. Every person that has an issue, set them free now in Jesus' name. That's all that has to be said. Set free in Jesus' name. Y'all that are standing, just look at me and everybody else, heads bowed, eyes closed. Set free in Jesus' name. Amen? So say, I'm free. Say it. Say, I'm free. I'm free. Glory be to God. Just say it out of your mouth. I'm free. Free. There's no reason to be in bondage, right? Because y'all are major, major believers in Jesus. So, doesn't mean that we don't go through things. We just need to get through them. Say, I'm set free. Set free. Even if you're standing. Jane, say, I'm set free. In Jesus' name. Say it. I'm free. I'm free. Y'all say it. Y'all free? Glory be to God. Say it. and you got to have to say it out of your mouth. I'm just going to be in agreement that you are set free because God loves you and you don't deserve bad things. So be set free in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, y'all sit down just for a second. Everybody in here, I want you to repeat a prayer. And the reason I want everybody to pray it is not to get saved again, but learn the prayer. But if you're here or watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to confess and ask Jesus to come into your life. So I'm going to pray the prayer. You pray it after me. All the people that are believers, you're just going to be praying it with someone around you possibly. Okay? And then learn the prayer. So let's all pray this prayer out loud. And I want everybody to declare this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I make you my Lord because I believe you've been raised from the dead. And I'm saved today knowing that all my sins are forgiven and I'm going to serve you the rest of my life. I need help, but I'm willing to learn how to live in Christ Jesus. Because now He's my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Now before you say anything else, heads bowed and eyes closed. If you just prayed that prayer and you asked Jesus to come into your life. And you never had really. I mean, you might have known Him. But if you died, you got to have assurance that you're going to the place called heaven and not the place called hell. And Jesus is the only way to get to the Father in heaven. That's John 14. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, and Jesus just became your Lord, when I count to three, I want you to be bold. We're not ashamed. I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand up and put it right back down. And when you raise it up, you're saying to God, I just gave my life to the Son of God, Jesus, and I meant it. That's what you're saying when you raise your hand up. And you're declaring it before men. The Bible says if you'll do that, Jesus says, I'll declare you before the Father in heaven. We always say it like this, never be ashamed of Jesus becoming your Lord. You need to proclaim it. That's why you shout, Hosanna. If you just gave your heart to Jesus, prayed that prayer and you meant it and you did it for the first time. When I say three, raise your hand up. Let me see it and put it right back down. Ready? One, with boldness. Two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Make sure I see it. I saw y'all's. I saw her. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Make sure I see it. And then, I'm not going to embarrass you. I want to see it. All right, look at me. I think three people gave their heart to Jesus, and that's worthy of shouting Hosanna. Amen. Thank you, Lord.